take your Bibles, please. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. And we'll jump in just a second here. Let me review. We started this 2 weeks ago, and then, of course, I was gone last Wednesday. Let me just quickly review. Work or labor is not a curse.
Amen.
God made man to work.
Yes, sir.
He put man in the Garden of Eden to work it, to name it, to organize it, and to categorize it, and all the plants and all the animals, etc., etc. We went into a little bit about what was involved with that. God gave, or God put into man, the desire or the responsibility of work. I made this statement before. I'll make it again. This is why works are part of man's religion. This is why man adds works to salvation. Because there is in man a desire to work for what he gets. But man can't be a part of salvation because man's a sinner.
Yes, sir.
And our works are not good enough to get us there. Salvation has to be all of God. By the way, that's how you can tell the difference between true Christianity and man's religion.
Amen.
If there's works involved, it's man.
Yep.
If it's salvation by grace through faith, it's God.
Preach it.
There are only two religions in the world. God did it, you accept it, or man does it to get it.
Right.
If man does it to get it, it's wrong. We sinners aren't good enough to get it. We have to have had a perfect God give it to us.
Yes,
so God has put into man a desire to work and to succeed and to build and to grow. And there's much in the Bible about it, but there's quite a few verses. I think there's about 20 or so in the book of Proverbs that mention the word work or works, labor or laboreth, or some form of those words. And we're just going to kind of rocket through them from the beginning of Proverbs to the end, like we've been doing with these other topics. And I'm going to pick up where we left off last week. I gave you six of them last week. Tonight, number seven, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 16. Look at verse number 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Here's the principle. Good work promotes good thinking. Good work promotes good thinking. A person busy in their work doesn't have time to look at what others are doing and complain. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Let me maybe put it this way. A person busy in their work doesn't have time to look at others and what they should be doing, because they're busy doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Amen, preacher.
You know, isn't it amazing, all of you that work outside of the home, and those of you that have more than one child have watched this. Isn't it amazing? You can give two people a job to do, and often one will say, well, they're not doing their part.
Yeah, right.
I tried that once. I had a dad that said, well, if you can tell that they're not doing their part, that means you're not working hard enough at your part. Let's bring it down to where we live in America. Crime and violence is in the highest areas of unemployment. Crime and violence are in the highest areas of welfare. It's not a lack of resources, it's a lack of good thinking because of a lack of employment. There are 7 million jobs available in America today, and there's less than 6 million people unemployed. That means there are more jobs available than people to fill them right now. There is no excuse for people not working. There are jobs. Here's the problem. The United States government will pay you more not to work than it will to work. You see, it is the people who do not think about work that then generate violence and crime. If people were busy working, they wouldn't have time to think about getting into trouble. Can I teach you how to keep teenagers from getting in too much trouble? Teach them how to work.
That's good.
teach them to work the right way in the right place with the right things. We'll talk about that later. But why is it that when, and let's go back 100 years or so in the farm days of America, you'd get up at 5 o'clock, go milk the cows, feed the chickens, gather the eggs, slop the hogs, go back, eat breakfast, grab your books, and walk to school. Go to school all day, come back, milk the cows, do your chores. And then it was time to do your schoolwork. You were too tired to get in trouble. You had enough employment, enough work to keep you busy. Now, as people move into the cities, there's not that kind of work necessarily available, so work has to be generated. But you take people that don't work at all, and I'll show you the highest crimes and the highest level of crimes in areas where people do not work. You say, why? Because God says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. When you are busy working, you're busy producing, you're not talking, you're not thinking about destroying somebody else. You're thinking about building, not destruction. You're thinking about construction, not destruction. I'm going to get in trouble for this. We don't need critical thinkers, employees. We need people working and well-focused on their job. We shouldn't be working to troubleshoot. Very few people should be there to troubleshoot. Trouble is, today, everybody wants to be the troubleshooter and not the worker. Everybody wants to say, well, I'm doing this, but they're not doing that, and they're not doing that, and they're not doing that. None of your business what they're doing, and they're doing, and they're doing. Just do your job. The word commit means to roll. I love this. It means to wallow in or to trust. It literally is like a pig in the mud. You're just supposed to waller in it. That means this, we need to, and by the way, a pig will roll in the mud for pleasure. It's also to cool them down. It's also to keep bugs from getting to them and insects and that type of thing. But we need to roll or wallow in our work. That means this, we ought to enjoy our work. I enjoy my work. I really do. I enjoy what I do. I didn't say every part of my job is enjoyable, but I enjoy what I do. Can I tell you what the average person in America does today? Well, I don't like my mud hole. I want to roll in somebody else's mud hole. We complain about what mud we roll in. That's really what it is. Well, somebody else has better mud than we have. It's still mud. Just commit your work and let God help you with your thoughts. You say, well, I think I should be getting more than I'm getting. Okay, then do better work. And if you can't get it there, go look somewhere else. But don't complain about it. And I've got to hurry, all right? Number 8, I'm going to move on. Proverbs chapter 16, look at verse number 11. Because I really want to get a couple more down here before I pull up and part tonight. Look at verse number 11. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are His work. This is very interesting. My son Josh built this for me for Christmas. He knows that I love the scales of justice. Now, these are not true scales. They're not exact, but you'll understand where I'm headed with this in a moment. The Bible says that a just weight and the balance are the Lord's. These are the scales of justice. When these are equal with one another, you put a true weight in here, and then you measure out what you're putting in it, and they're to balance each other out. That's when you know this side equals that side. Makes sense to everybody? God said the balance and the weight that you would use as the measure are the Lord's work. That means this, not what goes into this side, but this and what goes into this side are God's. It's our job to work on filling this side up. to balance it out. Here's what would happen. You'll see in the book of Proverbs and other places it talks about an unjust weight or an abominable weight. What is that? Let's say you had a 1 pound weight you put in here, which is how many ounces? Anybody remember? 16, all right? But let's say that you had a guy that was a little bit shady, and instead of 16 ounces, he put a 14 ounce weight in there. Now, the outside of it said 1 pound. But he's cheating everybody 2 ounces. You do that 8 times, you pick up an extra pound. And what they would do from time to time, they would have people come in and inspect the weights that were used for the balance. That way that you knew, it talks about a true weight or a just weight. They want to make sure that there's a standard there. God said the balance and the weights of the bag, or all the different weights that will be used here, are the Lord's. And the justice of that is his work. Now, watch this, if you will. Here's the point. God's biggest work is justice. God's greatest or biggest work is justice. Justice to God is the most important thing. By the way, that's why when man sinned, he deserves hell. He committed the same sin that Satan committed. I hear this often when I go out soul winning. Well, how could a loving God send anybody to hell? God didn't. God didn't sin. Man did. God told man what not to do in order to not sin. Man disobeyed. Every one of us did. And therefore, it's not God's fault that people go to hell. But I want you to notice something. He came in, stepped in the balance, and balanced our account out for us. So all we got to do is step in on the other side and get saved. It's not our works of righteousness which we have done, but by the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Good.
He stepped in and created this justness, and the only way to get it then is by salvation, by grace, through faith. We accept what he did, it balances out the equation, and we get saved. Did you know that all of your works, the balance is still out of kilter?
Yes, sir.
Don't matter how good you are. Doesn't matter how much good you do, it's still tainted by sin. It takes Jesus stepping in and what he did to balance it out. And that's what salvation is. When Jesus died as our Savior, as our Lamb, he resurrected as our high priest. He placed the blood on the mercy seat in heaven, and he made this available, but it doesn't happen until you receive it. He did that to satisfy the justice of God. He didn't, please don't take this the wrong way, he didn't do it for you and for me. He did it so God could have what God wanted, man. God wanted man that much. Jesus said, I'll balance the equation. Because all they have to do then is trust me. Because none of us are good enough to get it. God requires justice. What's it say in the book of Zephaniah or Zechariah? What doth God require but that men do justly? We are to do justice. Now watch this. Justice isn't getting what you want or what you think. This garbage of no justice, no peace is not justice. Hate to disappoint everybody. Just because a ruling doesn't go a certain way doesn't mean justice has not been served. Now, we don't have perfect justice, but America has a pretty good justice system. At least we did until the Democrats were trying to keep everybody off the Supreme Court. Have you seen they're trying to enact what FDR did back in the 1930s, and they want to add 6 more people to the bench? That's exactly what FDR did, because he couldn't get the New Deal through and he wanted to add more people so that he could get his votes through. Now, he didn't succeed in it, and they won't succeed either, but that's what they're trying to do. The silly thing is, they won't have a decision on who gets it. The president still would, so it would be out of balance even more. Anyway, that was free. You didn't have to pay for that one. God's biggest work is justice. God makes sure that the balance of weight is exact. Did you know, everybody watch this, did you know that the way of salvation is the same for the bum on the street as it is for the president of the United States?
That's right.
It is an exact measure. Doesn't matter how much you're worth or how little you're worth, salvation is the same for all. You see, you do your part and let God do his with the justness of the bag. Let me put it this way. God is in charge of the balance. He will balance, he will bring justice at some point in time. You may not see when the justice comes, but the justice will come. Did you know that justice isn't always swift? Sometimes justice takes a while. That means this, just because you don't see God doing it does not mean he's not making it just. Everybody understand that? I was principal and administrator in a couple different Christian schools in my career. And can I tell you something? It's amazing. There would be, I didn't broadcast who got what punishment for what they did wrong. I never published people's demerit records. Say, why? It's nobody else's business. I had somebody one time get in trouble, and they said, well, so-and-so did the same thing I did, and they didn't get in trouble for it. I said, who told you that? Well, they did. I said, you really want to believe that? I said, I happen to know what the records are. Well, did they get the same thing I got? I said, it's none of your business. Now, what they didn't know is the exact same punishment went out. But because they heard somebody didn't get it, they believed they didn't get it. You don't always see the justice. I'm going to put this down. But God's greatest work is justice. I'm going to try to put this over here. I hope I don't knock it over, but that's life. It does go back together in about five pieces. All right. Now, so God's greatest work is justice. Notice, he is the balance, and he is the weights that go in the bag. That's what makes everything just. That gets rid of situational ethics. That gets rid of, well, we're above the law, we don't have to keep that. I think one of the things on the books that I hate most is diplomatic immunity. I think that's criminal. I do. I think the people that make the laws and the people that enforce the laws ought to have to keep the laws. Just because you're a lawmaker doesn't make you a lawbreaker. Legitimately. Just because you're a law enforcer doesn't mean you can get away with the wrong things either. And by the way, there are some people out there in high positions that do wrong things, but it's not everybody. I think we ought to be careful. We get upset when they label us across the board. Let's not label them across the board. So God's greatest work or biggest work is justice. I got to hurry. Proverbs chapter 16, look at verse number 26. Oh, I love this. He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. That's an interesting verse. It means this: work gives a person self-respect. Work gives a person self-respect. I'm going to have to put that over there, or I am going to just fling it all over. Work gives a person self-respect. Notice, he that laboreth for himself. Now watch this. For his mouth craveth it of him. What's a craving? It means you what?
Really want
something, you desire something. That means this: the more successful you get at your work, the more you want to do it. The better of a job you do, the more ready you are to go back to work tomorrow. Labor is healthy. Labor is good for mental health. It's good for physical health. I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. Henry Ford used to bring work to the hospitals when his employees were in the hospital. He would bring them jobs that they could do while they were recovering in a hospital, and it was a proven fact they healed 24% faster. And it was always taken to them, and they were made to feel important and said, "This is good. We need your help. You're so valuable. We've got to have you to keep staying employed, but we need you back out on your regular job too." And they would find healing by the self-respect of their importance of getting a job done. You know, the best thing to teach your family is how to finish a job. Teach children not just to work, but to finish a job. And I'll get into that a little bit later here. A man likes to talk about his success and his productivity at work. This is not bad because it causes him to want to go back and do more. A person's work can cause them to talk themselves into more productivity. Or a person's work can cause them to talk themselves into less productivity. You show me an employee that talks bad about the boss, talks bad about his job, I'll show you somebody that doesn't produce. You show me somebody that talks good about a job, talks good about their boss, talks good about where they work, I'll show you somebody that produces. My dad knows this is true. I walked him through the shop one time, I think, over in Valparaiso. I worked in a machine shop. Every Friday night, we would shut the shop down at 11. Work was over at 12. We spent the last hour of the night cleaning the shop. It had had 5 days of work for two shifts every day. We would shut the shop down, shut the machines down. We would wipe them down. We had what they called I won't tell you what we called it, but it was well, you see them at Walmart, but this was an industrial thing. It would put soap and water on the floor, the big half moon squeegee, and you walk behind it and then clean the floors. Our floors shined. They were high gloss polished concrete. And it was a machine shop. We made sure the machines were wiped down. We made sure the locker rooms were cleaned up. We made sure that the break room was cleaned up. And that was just part of the night shift's job on Friday night. Those that complained about it were the people that usually were working swing shift and most of the time had worked day shift and didn't want to do it. Those of us that we only worked afternoon shift, we loved doing it. And I know this sounds bad, but I broke most of the production records in the shop. I did. Most all of the production records I had broken at one point in time. Not all, but most. They said, "Well, that's because you work second shift. There's not as many bosses there. You can't get as much done on day shift." By the last 6 months I worked there, I started working 2 weeks a days, 2 weeks afternoons. Did you know I broke my own records on day shift? I wanted to prove to them you could break records on day shift. They had more guys working on day shift. Instead of running three machines, I'd only run one machines and deburr parts and whatever else I could get done. And on night shift, I was running three machines and doing the same thing. I thought, man, if I only have to run one or two machines, I can really crank this thing out. And I just put the head down, started working. I was breaking my own records on those machines. Same machine, same parts. Day shift manager came over to me and he said, I won't use his name. He said, "Craig, you got to slow down." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because just about everybody on this shift's mad at you." I said, "For what?" He said, "Because you're making them look bad." I said, "Tell them to step up. Don't slow me down." I said, "I'm not backing off just because they're too lazy to work." I said, "If they're feeling..." I got reprimanded for a bad attitude. And it was okay. But 28 years later, the man that owned that company wrote a check for $65,000 and a check for $100,000. And when we have our opening service, we'll be here. Justice. guys that complained about it weren't producing. Everybody doing okay? So a person can talk themselves into or out of productivity. Number 10, you ready? Proverbs chapter 20. I may spend a good bit of time on this point right here, so don't get mad at me. But Proverbs chapter 20, look at verse number 11. This is I love this point. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The Bible says, number 10, children need to learn a work ethic.
That's right.
Children need to learn a work ethic. Now, if you'll listen to me for just a second, I think I can help you. Did you know that children naturally want to work? They want to help. You know that any child, as they start maturing, they love to help. Now, they reach that time where you tell them what you want them to do, and they, no. But they really do desire to be helpful and to work. They want responsibility. You got to learn how to harness that. Children naturally want to work and help if it started from about the time they can crawl on. You start teaching a work ethic from the moment a child virtually can pick something up or they can begin to crawl. They can help you put toys away. If they're sitting in a pile of toys, you put one in their hand and say, put it in here. Good. You know, just like your puppy. Good boy, all right? And you get them to begin to start putting things away. They don't know it's work, but they know they're getting praise for it. Now watch this. Work needs to be age appropriate, and everything that a child does should be considered work. Children's play is their work before they start school. They need to learn how to play nice. They need to learn how to play right. They need to learn to take care of their tools, which are their toys. They need to learn how to put their tools away. So, and they need to learn to get along with everybody they play, with whom they play. That means brothers or sisters or nursery kids or wherever they're at, they need to learn how to play right with others. Not just push and shove and get what they want. So even a child, their play is work. When you teach them to color. Now, there comes a point in time where, you know, it's just, okay, everything's black or everything's brown. One color, here we go. But there comes a time where they need to learn to stay in the lines. They need to add color to it. Say, what colors? Doesn't matter, I'm colorblind. It's pretty bad when you sit down with kids to color, and if there's no color, there's no paper on the crayons, you're in trouble. Right? Yeah, I've had some pretty funny pictures because there's no paper on the crayons. Tell me what color they were. But a child, their play is work. Then they mature to the point where school is their work. I believe the primary job of a child is school until they graduate from high school. And say when they were starting grade school, I mean all the way through high school. Their primary work is their schooling.
Yes, sir.
Now, hang on here. I think a child needs to learn how to help around the house.
Yes, sir.
They need to learn how to make their bed, pick up their toys, throw their dirty clothes in the basket, get it to the laundry if that's what they're supposed to do. They need to learn how to clean a sink and clean a toilet and clean a tub and all the things that go with that. I get that, dust and mop and throw the bucket of water at their brother or sister. I get all that, all right? And I understand that. But the primary work of a child is school, not the labor around the house. I think boys ought to learn how to mow the yard. My dad taught me there's two handles on a lawnmower for a reason. One for the little one and one for the big one. My two boys, from the time they could, about time they were about 5 years old or so, they helped me push a lawnmower. That's what that short bar's for. And they would push. They would think they were pushing. They got a little older, they pushed a little more, and I pushed a little less. And then they could reach the other bar. Then I quit pushing and watch them push. Then they left home and I got a self-propel. So it pushed me. Now, wait a minute. I taught my boys by doing it with them. And then they had chores that they had to get done, but their schoolwork was more important than the other. But part of that was learning how to negotiate both. My boys had house chores. They had to take care of certain things around the house. And when during the school year, when my wife would be teaching, because she taught for, 20-some years, she taught. So during the school year, Saturday afternoon was clean the house day. We'd get back off of bus routes and soul winning and everything else, and she'd be home. We'd walk through the door, and we had a list of duties that needed done. I usually took care of the bathrooms. The kids had, one had dusting, one had vacuuming, one had something else, and I took care of the bathrooms. Sometimes we'd switch it up. I don't want to do that. Good. You'd clean toilets. I'll go do yours. I don't want to do that. Too late. And they learned how to do all of those. But we worked together. We could get the house done in, no time at all. With four people working, man, you can clean a house in a hurry. Especially if everybody's motivated to get it done so you can go out and do something else fun. So we taught them to work, but their school is their primary work. I used to tell students this. If you got paid according to how you do your schoolwork, most of you would starve to death. And it doesn't matter if, and I'm not talking about that they had to get straight A's. I'm talking about the amount of effort they put into their schoolwork. There are some students, of which I was one, I didn't have to work real hard to get decent grades. Now, I never tried for straight A's. I'll tell you why, I had too much else I wanted to get done. But I got good grades. I know some people, if they don't get a 100, life's about over. I wasn't that way. A, B, I was happy. If I could get an A or an B, I was real good. C, time to work a little harder. I think I only ever got one D in my life. And that was in college, Ed Reese class. But I passed it the first time, which I was one of the very few. Quit laughing, Mrs. Lopez. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Oh, what a miserable class. Most guys took that class, read newspapers, and got their tests back and failed the whole class for a semester and then took it again. And just because he never changed any of the material, and he would correct the tests as you go through them. And then they would memorize the test on second time through and pass the class. I passed it the first time. Barely, but I passed it. Now, let me say this. But children need to learn that their schoolwork and the effort that they put into things ought to be the same as working a job. Children are not slaves. We're not supposed to turn our children into slave labor. Everybody doing okay? They need a balance. I think children need to learn how to work other than school. They need to learn how to cut wood and carry wood and stack wood and if you have that kind of stuff. They need to learn how to help change the oil. They need to learn how to mow the yard and pull the weeds and edge the yard and blow with the blower or sweep the driveways and things. I think all of those things are necessary. Girls need to learn how to do things around the house as much as boys do or more. They need to learn how to keep things up and keep things read up. They need to learn how to cook. God knows girls today need to learn how to cook. And more than a microwave and peel and poke, amen? There's more than the peeling the box off of the thing, slap it in the microwave and poking the buttons and say, dinner's ready. Lord have mercy. My son graduated from high school, my oldest, and The day after graduation, we were having this graduation party, and my wife stepped down out of our house and broke her ankle. We never made it to the graduation party. We made it to the emergency room. My daughter was 10 years old. Do you know that for the next 3 or 4 weeks, my daughter cooked for a family of five at the age of 10? My wife wasn't able to do it. You say, were you worried? Nope. By the age of 10, she already knew how to cook for everybody. And it wasn't box macaroni and cheese and hot dogs. It wasn't peanut butter and jelly.
Amen.
She cooked. Now, my wife was sitting there helping and instructing, but my wife didn't do much of anything. We all kept up with the house. You say, why is that? Because we taught them, it's time to jump in. Mom's down. We pick up the slack. So there are things that they need to learn. My son is 23 years old. He and my wife send recipes back to one another. He's a bachelor, cooking on his own. Mom, do you remember that stuff we used to eat? Yeah. Can you send me the recipe? Yeah. I love it. He's learning to make things. Children need to learn to follow all work instruction, no matter who the boss is. Okay, this is where the rubber's going to meet the road. Teach your kids that whatever the teacher says, that's the way it's supposed to be done, not your way. Ouch. You may know a better way, but you better not teach them contrary to what the teacher says. Because now you're fighting boss against boss. Everybody do it okay?
Yes, sir.
You need to back the authority in their life. If your kid gets demerits, it's not unfair. If your kids get in trouble at school, don't go running to the principal or to the teacher telling them how unfair it is because your child really didn't do it. Folks, you weren't there. How do you know? Well, I know because my child told me, and you believe everything they say. Do you want that? How many things have they done that they didn't tell you? I used to tell my kids, okay, you didn't do it, but you did other things you didn't get caught for. It's just catching up to you. Don't worry about it. See, you didn't say that. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
You need to teach them to follow the boss no matter what. I was glad when I got my first job. I was delivering pizzas and working in a pizza kitchen in a pizza shop owned by a Greek fella. My dad came to work one night. I was out delivering pizzas. Had a little 1980 Chevy Chevette four-cylinder, three-speed. I mean, it was just a pregnant sewing machine. Literally. I'm winging around town in this little silver Chevette. Almost didn't have any heat. I came back in. My dad was walking out. I said, did you need something? He said, no. I was just checking on you. I walked in. The boss says, man, your dad was checking up on you. I'm like, oh, no. I'm glad my dad said, whatever your boss says, do it. Just do it. I learned how to follow bosses that way. Work is a good word and needs taught that way from early in life. Teach your children that work is a good thing, not a bad thing. Make work a reward, not a punishment. Oh, there's so much I want to say right here. let me help you as an adult. Maybe you're a teacher, Sunday school teacher. Maybe you have small children at home. Maybe you help with your grandkids, whatever. Children need to learn to do things right, even though you can do it faster yourself.
Yep.
It is always faster to do something yourself. It takes longer to teach and to train somebody else to do it. But if you have taught and trained somebody else to do it, you've multiplied the ability for it to get done. When my wife was training my kids to do laundry, she could do the laundry a whole lot faster than teaching them how to do it. But it was important for her to go from child to child, room to room. All right, put all those in there. If you want it clean, put it in there. Get the ones under the bed. Get the ones stuck off the wall. Yeah, all those things. Get it all. put it in there. Now you take it downstairs to the laundry and go to the next one. Now, it would have been a whole lot easier for her to walk in and just start throwing it all in there. But then when it was time to fold the things, and she made them go down there and help put them into the washing machine. And they would get the laundry soap and help her, and all the different components of it, she made them help. Say why? There was coming a day when they needed to do it on their own. There was coming a day, we didn't know it, where she'd break her ankle and not be able to do it. So we all needed to jump in. Can I tell you something? By the time my kids were in junior high or high school, my wife didn't do their laundry for them anymore. I know by the time they were in high school, I think by junior high, they did all their own laundry. I don't have any clean clothes, Mom. Did you do your laundry? No. Tough. Go wear something dirty. I told you, laundry day was such and such. You didn't get it done. Oh, I've heard that more than once. Hey, can I borrow? It was okay between the boys, but couldn't do that with their sister. But anyway, it happens. You say, why? Because there was coming a day when they weren't going to have Mommy around to do their laundry. They needed to learn the responsibility of taking care and getting it folded and getting it put into the wherever, whether it was the closet or the dresser. Now, I wasn't one of those parents that was militant and went into their room, and if the dresser drawer wasn't organized the way I wanted, I threw it all over the floor. I didn't care if they wadded it all up and threw it in there. As long as it's out of sight, I didn't care. It's their problem, not mine. Now, you look at my dresser drawers, they're organized a certain way. Everything's boom, 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 boom. Certain drawer for everything, done certain way, and I like it that way. Not everybody's that way. I won't criticize that. As long as it's in the drawer, I don't care. If you got to find what you want, that's your problem. I want to be able to go and be done. Okay? I'm lazy. I like it that way. All right? But it's easier sometimes to do it yourself rather than teach somebody to do it. My wife took my children shopping, grocery shopping. She taught them how to shop, taught them how to save money, taught them the value of money, value of coupons, the value of, well, I want that. Well, no, you don't. You can get twice as much of it over here, and it cost us less money. Oh, well, if we can get more, here we go. She taught them how to wisely do that. I'm going to make a statement here. Don't rescue them every time they make a mistake. Let them make mistakes and let them fail. Let them make mistakes and let them fail. If they're too hard-headed to listen to instruction, let them fail. Quit rescuing them. That's why you've got 30-year-olds that live with Mommy. I don't mean that unkindly. And they can't do anything in life. Or 40-year-olds. It's amazing to me how many adult children are just that, children. Because we rescue and we rescue and we rescue. No. When I left for college and I came back and then I went back and I didn't come home anymore, I kind of felt a little guilty. My dad said, son, I left you to leave, not stay. That was a whole lot better. There was a little guilt there of not coming back, but he said, I didn't rear you to stay here. I reared you to go out and make it on your own. Okay, that makes sense to me. But you can't rescue them every time. And by the way, sometimes you got to let them hurt themselves a little bit. If they're not going to listen to you about moving their hand away from the lid when they put the washing machine lid down, eventually you're going to hear a, ah! That's okay. Tell them you told them what to do. Or in the case of one of my kids, they like to smell everything. Keep your nose away from the iron in the toaster. But one day they had something in the toaster, and they were sniffing, and you heard a little, yeah! They don't smell the toaster anymore. You say, preacher, it happened, trust me. It happened. Sometimes you can only warn them so much. Don't touch the iron. How many of you have ever done that? Me. It only takes once. That little in the blister that's about that big on the end of your finger that looks like a witch, it cures that in a heartbeat. Sometimes you have to let them fail. Sometimes you've got to let them... Okay, sometimes you got to even let them fail in school.
Right.
Let them pull themselves... A great man once told me, let them pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. I was worried about one of mine, said, do you think I need to hold him back? And he said, if he passes, he passes. Don't hold him back. He said, I never hold back for immaturity. That's the stupidest reason to hold somebody back. He said, if they can make it through, they can make it through. He said, needs to learn how to grit it out and pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. He said, going to be tough now, but it'll make them tougher later and they'll be okay. And they made it. They weren't my best student all the way through, but they do pretty well now. He was right. I didn't like it. Just so you know, bit my tongue. Okay, you know more than I know. We had battle after battle, but we got through it. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Listen to this and I'm done. If you focus on a child doing all the extracurricular but not their schoolwork and not what's required of them, too many kids are good at sports and terrible at school. Too many kids are good at working around the house with dad or mom and not good at school. No, the extracurricular comes after the schoolwork's done. But the schoolwork gets done. All right, every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Work and labor, they're good words, they're not bad words.